Do you have a single greatest fear? Beneath all the worries of every day, is there one open-ended question that keeps you up at night? One anxiety that produces all the others? Beneath the poem I just read, there is an empty square in your bulletin. I ask you to take a couple minutes, and with the pens that are in the pews or in the black portfolios, to consider the following question. What is your ultimate fear? What is your ultimate fear? You're not going to share these or turn these in, so feel free to be honest. We'll take 2 minutes. What is your ultimate fear? Mark tells us that the night before Jesus was led away to be crucified, he went into a garden to pray. There he began to be deeply distressed, sorrowful, and afraid. He despaired. "My soul is sorrowful, even to the point of death." It wasn't the first time that Jesus had withdrawn at night to pray to the God he so intimately knew as Father. But it was the first time that he asked 3 friends to join him. On this night, Jesus did not want to be alone with God. He wanted company. He wanted protection. And his prayer was more of a demand. "Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Spare me this suffering." What was he so afraid of? The pain of crucifixion? Well, it would be foolish to think he didn't experience that pain, that fear. But I don't think Jesus was merely overcome by self-pity, that he was merely afraid of the thought of bodily torment. I think it was a very different kind of fear that took hold of Jesus that night in the garden and lacerated his soul. It was a fear that he would be rejected and abandoned by God. Jesus loved his heavenly Father as no one had ever loved anyone before. But he knew that night that if he was going to take on the weight of human sin, then he would be cut off from that Father. God's absence, God's deafening silence, that was the cup Jesus asked to be spared. One writer called it the eclipse of God. It's when everything that makes life something living withers away. Jesus' suffering began with a despairing prayer, and it ended with one. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He hung on the cross for 3 hours, locked in silence and agony, waiting for death. And his cry at the end seems to negate the God upon whom he had placed his hope. You see, Jesus' greatest fears did come true. He was not spared the fate that he implored the Father to save him from. He was separated from God, embracing our sin, left him a curse. It was a judgment that he bore utterly alone and in which he was unable to stand. That is the historical core of our faith. The last words God the Son addressed to God the Father was, "Why have you forsaken me?" No way that idea takes root in the Christian faith if it never happened. So is there any answer to the question, why? Why the eclipse? Why Jesus's agonizing disappointment? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Let's not rush in with theoretical answers. Answers that begin with the word because. Picture the people in our community who have suffered an eclipse. People whose worst dreams, whose worst fears have come true. Would you ever, in the throes of their anguish, try and comfort them with a because? Maybe God allowed your nightmare to come true because maybe God didn't answer your prayer because the fact of the matter is, we will never be comfortable trying to explain the God-forsaken cry of Christ when he died on the cross. We're quick to try. And we're quick to interpret it theologically. And that's, of course, that's fine. But sometimes we do need to consider the unadorned reality of what happened that day. Jesus Christ called upon God the Father, and it broke God the Father's heart, but he said no. And then all of Jesus' disciples, all of us who are here in this room, fled in horror and in disbelief. God revealed himself on Good Friday to be everything that we thought God was not. Scorched, defenseless, utterly alone. Well, there is one satisfying and liberating answer to the question why, and it's the answer of resurrection, the reality of resurrection. God said to the prophet Isaiah, "For a brief moment, I abandon you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back." Good Friday forces us to make a very basic decision. The cross is either the end of theistic hope. G.K. Chesterton said that on the cross, God seems for an instant to be an atheist. It's either the end of hope or it's the beginning of something new, something entirely new. The beginning of true hope. Hope which has been born again and can no longer be shaken. The cross is either death itself or it's that which nullifies the threat of death forever. I believe it is the beginning of true hope. It's the beginning of a life in which the specter of our personal hell loses its power. And here's why. My greatest fear? I actually have two. One, that the people I love will be taken from me, and that at the end, I will end up alone. And that I'll be passed over. That my life, in the end, will not account for very much. But if I'm really honest, my ultimate fear is probably something deeper, something much more basic. And it's that at the end, God will forsake me, that he won't be for me, that he won't safeguard the blessings he's promised. Jesus' death is the worst of those fears come true. Are you afraid of being alone? Jesus Christ died in utter loneliness. All of his best friends, his own God, had forsaken him. Are you afraid of being insignificant? Jesus died in total weakness. Everything that he had done, everything that he had fought for, had seemingly come to nothing. But it's there, friends, it's precisely there, at that lowest point, the lowest point, that Jesus Christ gives us hope. It's right there that he waits for us. And he invites us to neutralize our fears by realizing them in him. He invites us to neutralize our fears, to empty them of their power by realizing them in him. He says, all of your fears, your greatest anxieties, the stuff that really keeps you up at night, relate that to my experience on the cross. Don't you see? Everything that you fear, all of your greatest fears, I have realized. And so you, nothing that life throws at you, no experience, no tragedy could ever separate you from me. Give me your loneliness. Give me your fears of insignificance. Give me your fears of loss. Give me your experiences of loss. I have drunk from that bitter cup, and I can comfort you. It's an ancient truth. Only those who have suffered can help people who are suffering. Jesus Christ is the brother in whom we can confide everything, because he knows and he has suffered everything that we could ever experience, and even more. With him, we can stare our greatest fears in the face. We can stare at the disappointment and the death and the loneliness that lurks behind them. And we can leave the threat of those fears behind. That's the hope the Christian faith affords. It's not simply believing with your heart or with your mind, but it's entrusting your whole self to the Lord. Faith is seeking community with the human Christ, and it's opening yourself to his history in every situation. To close, beneath the cross of Christ, hope is born again out of the depths. The person who gets this, the person who really gets what Jesus Christ did for them and the fellowship that they can expect, even in suffering, the person who really gets that never fears those depths again. The cross makes us prisoners, to steal a phrase. Prisoners of hope. I want to ask you to take what you wrote in this square, and for the next minute or two, we'll be silent, and I want to encourage you, in whatever, however, the language with which you speak in your heart, to bring that to the Lord, to actually enact the exchange I was describing. Relate your fear to Jesus' experience, and have him bear that awful load. Then Chris will lead us in a song.